the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the conference finals are underway in the NBA playoffs, Western Conference Finals. They tipped off last night. Oklahoma City off to a good start, 114-88 over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Eastern Conference Finals tip off tonight in New York, Pacers and the Knicks. Joining us right now on the hotline, you know her best as the sideline reporter for the Houston Rockets on Space City Home Network. Does a great job there. She is doing a great job now for ESPN on their digital platforms for the Western Conference Finals. Vanessa Richardson joining us. Vanessa, how we doing? How's OKC treating you?
It's good. Hey, guys. Yeah, I actually don't hate OKC. It's very calm. The weather's been really nice. Very walkable city. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Is it true that I heard a national show talking about this? Is it true that Oklahoma City, though, does have a distinct smell to it because there's a Purina factory there?
This is interesting. I had not noticed that, but okay. Now I will have to keep a nose out for it.
Yes, keep a nose out for it because it's a distinct smell. They have, like, South Bend had that. There was an ethanol plant like 5 miles from Notre Dame, and every night it would blow towards the campus, and it would smell like corn alcohol at night.
They should have put that Purina factory in Indianapolis because it could feed the local women as well.
Oh, look at you.
Already. The very first thing Seth says to me, we're off to a great
shots fired. Wow.
Indiana native. Hey, seriously, why does Peyton Manning never go back for Pacers games?
So I don't know. I mean, I know he lives in Denver and he's raising his family in Denver. And I don't know. I mean, the way things ended with the Colts, I'm not sure that he's bitter, but he didn't really get to write it off on his terms. So.
Yeah,
I don't know. We might have lost that one. Hopefully not. But
hey, and to be clear to the listeners, Vanessa's not from Indianapolis. I would never try to make that joke.
No,
about,
Terre Haute. Yeah.
Even better.
Terre Haute. Vanessa Richardson joining us on the program. All right, so Vanessa, the walkability of OKC and the Purina factory aside, the game last night was close game until the third quarter, and then OKC kind of ran away with this thing in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. How nervous should we be, especially as Rocket fans, that we are about to be in a world where OKC is the next big thing in the West? This is a young team, man. Like the Western Conference, that they may be to the Western Conference what Golden State was a decade ago to the Western Conference.
I think I have so much confidence in the development of our young guys with the Rockets and what they're going to be able to do. But the Western Conference in general is a bloodbath. And the funny thing is that everybody knew that going into this season. And then on April 13th, which was the final day of the regular season, when every team plays, the scenario for like OKC had locked up the one seed, Rockets had locked up the two seed. If I'm not mistaken, it was like 3 through 8, which is the play-in tournament, were up for grabs. And it was like the Clippers were playing the Warriors, the Rockets were going to, like, it's just bananas. So from a broad perspective, the Western Conference for the next few years is going to be insane because you've got the teams like OKC that are established, but then you have the Rockets that are up and coming. The Clippers randomly, when Kawhi Leonard got healthy, all of a sudden looked really good, and Golden State still does what they do. So it's going to be very, very competitive over the next few years and much different over in the Eastern Conference, it feels like.
Yeah, no question about that. Vanessa Richardson joining us. Let's circle over to the Rockets for a second. I know you're still watching all the playoffs. Obviously, you're covering this series, and you've been covering other series too as well. Do you get the same feeling I do where the Rockets got knocked out in the first round, but I'm watching the rest of these teams in both conferences and you see Cleveland get knocked out, you see OKC get taken to the brink. How do you think, if the Rockets had been able to get through that game 7, what do you think the ceiling would have been for this team if they've been able to win that series?
I've talked to so many people about this because it makes me feel like people maybe think that I'm biased. Okay, yeah, I probably am. But when I'm watching some of these other teams, I'm like, the Rockets beat these teams these teams are not that much better than the Rockets. And so one thing that I think is very true, and this is what I'm actually posting at Space City Home Network. We did postseason interviews with Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka. And they both talked about how, you know, the guys got that experience that they needed in the playoffs. Playoffs are different. They just are. And so it is one of the things that's almost a little bit painful covering the playoffs is I feel like the team that I love and that I cover full time during the year, that they could have beat some of these teams. Mm-hmm. And that's that. But that's how the playoffs go. So
you should do that.
Yeah, definitely. You know. I have a lot of faith in our guys for sure.
Yeah, you're doing this now that you're doing it more from a national purview. You should just be very unprofessional and just sneak the Rockets into any and every discussion.
Yeah, every analogy.
Be that really annoying person. Like, oh, here comes Vanessa again.
Yeah.
She's going to be talking about Shangoon nonstop.
No, listen, Chet Holmgren here reminds me a lot of what Jock Landale did in January. You should just go, like, pick to the back end of the bench and stuff like that.
And speaking of Shangoon, in terms of, let's say, a trade for Antetokounmpo, it seemed by the public comments of Rafael Stone at the end of the year that they're going to play it very close to the vest and they're not necessarily eager for a trade. Where do you feel the Rockets are and like how aggressive they might be for a guy like Antetokounmpo?
Yeah, I mean, the short and very, very unsexy answer would be that I don't know. But, people that maybe aren't as dialed into the Rockets situation might not know the details of the fact that the Rockets are just really set up for whatever they want to do. Like, the Rockets have an incredible young core of guys that are developing month by month, but then they've also got a ton of draft picks. And then something that can't be understated is that NBA players want to live in Houston. There are athletes, you guys know, NFL players, and NBA players that aren't even from Houston and that are not playing for the Texans or Rockets, but they make their home, their offseason home in Houston. Part of that's probably the no state income tax. I think that's possible as well. And so then you look at all the relationships that head coach Ime Udoka and his coaching staff have with superstars around the league, because Ime was under Greg Popovich with Team USA. So he knows all these guys. And so, The Rockets are in a really good position to do whatever they want. And that means if they want to continue to develop all of the young guys and run it back, they're in a great position to do that. That means if they do decide, you know, to go for a quote unquote superstar, they have the means to do it. And the city that people, you know, the NBA is a players league, right? So the players want to come to Houston. And I think that they want to play for Ime Udoka. So the Rockets are in prime position to do whatever they want, and not a lot of teams can say that.
You can also, man, the owner also owns a bunch of casinos too. Triple Landry points does not show
there
up.
You
on,
go.
That does not show up on the salary cap, the Triple Landry points.
It doesn't,
points.
But it's there.
It's there. It's a perk. Everybody loves their Landry's points. Absolutely. Vanessa Richardson, sideline reporter for the Rockets, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. I think, you know, one of the interesting players as we head into the offseason is we know who the core guys are. All these trades get floated around, all these hypothetical trades, and it's a whole lot of fun to parse them out and whatnot. Where is the team with Reed Shepherd right now? Because I feel like, A, he gets thrown into a lot of these things, but B, he was the third overall pick last year, and C, he actually has a skill that this team could really use if he could ever get on the floor.
Yeah, they love Reed, and they really believe in Reed. And I think, like, Reed, people have to remember, Reed got drafted to a team that was up and coming and ended up being the two seed. Like, Reed didn't get drafted to the Charlotte Hornets or the Washington Wizards or a team where he would be playing significant minutes every night. And that's just part of being on a deep team. You know, at the beginning of the year, I remember the coaching staff saying that the word sacrifice was going to have to be a common theme for everybody this year, because the depth was just crazy of this team. And I think that that's part of Reed getting drafted to a deep team, is that when he went down to the G League for three games, I mean, he looked sensational and he got some of that confidence back. I remember him telling me that it was really good for him physically and mentally. He's going to get minutes, and they very much believe in Reed Shepherd for sure.
He scored like 49 when he went down there. Like,
yeah,
you're not getting
crazy.
Any playing time. He goes down there. Reed Shepherd scored 49 for Rio Creek last night. That was wild. What was it, in your mind, Vanessa, what was the biggest development this season, either an individual as a player or for this team, other than obviously winning more games and getting the two seed. But as far as things go, maybe individually on this team that you can take moving forward into next year that this team can build on, what was the biggest thing for you as you watched this team throughout the year?
Yeah, I think the growth of each guy, and every guy has to grow in a different way, and every guy has certain things to work on, whether it's footwork or needing to get a little bit stronger or, you know, maturity. And I don't even mean that in a negative way at all. I mean, like, these guys get drafted when they're 19 or 20, and they're growing, like, every 6 months. You can, like, see that they've grown and that their game has grown. So, I just think that everybody grew specifically in different areas, and the Rockets front office and the basketball operations in general did a really good job of catering to what everybody needed to do, right? So they sent three people last summer to Turkey to work with Alperen Şengün for 7 weeks, you know, to help Alperen grow in ways Alperen needed to grow. And they visited, they sent two people to Florida to work with Amen Thompson on, and did a lot of work on his shot and on it. So I think when you have such a young group of guys, it's not a totally veteran team where, you know, you can say, all right, enjoy your summer with your families. We'll see you back here for training camp. Mm-hmm. It was very intentional. And so I loved the growth that I saw last year. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more in the fall.
Well, that's where, and I think that's where Jalen Green perhaps comes in, is exactly where is he in his growth. And he is still, despite being 4 years in the NBA, he's still very, very young. And he's another guy where it feels like the organization itself probably feels genuinely a lot better about him than it seems the public at large does right now.
Yeah, and I think that and I get it. Like, if you're not a diehard Rockets fan, you're not watching the games as intently. But Golden State made it their mission to shut him down for the playoffs. I mean, they double-teamed him. They blitzed him. They did all of the things. And obviously, a lot of the times, it worked. I'm not excusing that. I'm just saying that that is a fact. So, you know, I do think people in the organization believe in him. And when you watch how hard these guys work on a daily basis, like, I go to every practice, every shoot-around, it's hard not to believe in them. But everybody grows at different paces. Everybody in their professional sports journey grows at different paces. So I think he knows he's going to have an off season where he's going to work hard. And I'm sure that, you know, he's the one that had the team workouts in LA last year, where he got everybody together for team dinners, for workouts. So, you know, he grew as a leader too. And he really grew as an all-around player. I don't think he got enough credit for that. He had a couple of games where his defense was really great. And that was his goal when Ime came in. They had that discussion where Ime's like, I want you to be a better all-around player. So I do think he's grown in that area.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Vanessa, when you sit down next to Ime, have you gotten to a stage now? Like, I don't think you've ever been frightened of him. I just look at it, and I would be frightened of Ime if I were sitting next to him, asking him some of the questions. What's it like when you sit down next to Ime Udoka, like, his whole vibe?
He's, you know, we have a really great coaching staff in general, and he did a good job of building that. He's really cool, and I think, was the perfect hire for these young guys and what they needed, which was accountability, right? And all those stories of him and Boston, you know, holding Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and all those guys accountable and whipping them, you know, into shape a little bit. He definitely did that with the Rockets as well. But the guys respect him so much, and they know how much he believes in them. And he holds everybody to a very, very high standard. You're not going to get away with everything. And I think that that's been important. But no, he's been great. I mean, like I said, I'm shameless plug. I'm going to post our end of season interview from Space City Home Network in a few minutes, and he was really great. And you know, Rafael Stone is fun to talk to as well. So it's interesting when you're in my position and you get the one-on-ones, because, you know, I'm never going to ask gotcha questions. That's not my job. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody in general is more comfortable with one-on-one interviews, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Vanessa, Sean and I had not a huge disagreement about this, but Steven Adams had the Instagram post immediately after the season. Oh, yeah. And it included things like, you know, proud of the boys and everything we learned together, past tense.
Yeah.
Thank the city of Houston for the passion and unwavering support. And a lot of people interpreted that as a farewell. I thought it was more of a, you know, a thank you for everything this season. Whereas some people like Sean, much more dramatic than me, thought that this meant that Steven Adams is gone completely. Where are you on that?
Oh, I hope Steve-O comes back. I mean, what he did for this team was unbelievable. It was a one-man wrecking crew. I personally, now I'm only speaking from the eye. I have not followed up with Steven on this. I took it as Seth took it, where it was just, you know, he had a fun year. He wanted to thank the guys, wanted to thank the city. You have to remember, he came back from injury. So this was the first time that he was able to play in a long time. And he made a difference for sure. So I definitely hope Steve-O comes back.
Yeah, see, here's the thing, Vanessa and Seth, is that I've been through a divorce. Seth has not. So, you know, like every thank you
Nor
card or every holiday card that I get from Amy, I'm like, is this it? Is this it? We've had a great year together. Merry Christmas. Is this it? Are you saying goodbye? So that's, you know, part of it. I'm damaged goods, man. You know, like that's part of it, you know, Vanessa?
PTSD.
Thank you. Thank you.
Steven Adams ain't the leaving type, Sean. Don't worry about
it. He's the leaving type.
I'm not your ex, okay?
Okay.
All right? Just stop acting like you're talking to your ex.
Okay, that's fine, but I saw Isaiah Hartenstein in an Oklahoma City uniform last night. He left me. All right.
Steven Adams submerging a banana boat down with somewhere. Yeah.
What'd you say?
I tried to make a banana boat joke. Yeah.
Oh, no. I was going to say, Steven Adams has the most vulgar mouth ever, by the way. Like, he's very, very funny. You guys.
I'd be more worried of Steven Adams being on a banana boat with the inside the NBA crew. That might mean he's like, no, that's how I'm going into broadcasting.
Oh, yeah, maybe so. Boy, he'd be a great addition to any banana boat crew.
He would be.
He'd be phenomenal.
They'd have to have the dump button ready, though.
I was going to say, it sounds like we need like a Steven Adams, like a Steven Adams at night kind of thing, you know, like on the internet sort of thing.
He's from New Zealand and in Australia. They have such a charming accent that they get away with even the worst curse words, like some words that you can never say to a person in America, like to a woman in particular. They make it like sound like a casual, it's just any other common noun.
That's it.
He gets away with it.
He's the only player that I've ever had say, "Hello, love." And you know what? Yeah. He has the accent. It works.
Oh, it doesn't sound like some cheesy dude trying to pick me up or something.
Dude, with the wrong accent, it can be an HR violation.
Yeah.
So, Vanessa, are you going to find a place to perch yourself to watch your Indiana Pacers tonight against the Knicks?
So, I think the Eastern Conference Finals are going to be great, by the way. Because there's so much hatred and vitriol between those two fan bases and franchises. So, yeah, the guy that I'm working with and hosting digital shows for ESPN is Amon Shumpert, who's also a former Houston Rocket. Yep. And so, some of the ESPN folks, we're going to go find a spot to watch that tonight.
Good deal. Well, I think I speak for all of society outside of New York when I say we are all Pacers fans in this series, for sure. We're rooting for the Pacers.
There's the thing, you know, you've got – it's two opposite cultures and two teams with so much history, and you know the players of those teams might be young, but the fans remember. And so it would be cool for Indiana to advance, obviously, but what a joy it would be for Knicks fans who have waited a really long time as well. So that's going to be a really, really great series.
No joy. I don't need them having any joy, Vanessa. You're way too nice. Yeah. I don't need any joy in New York. Hey, for those who want to watch you and Amon Shumpert break things down, where can they find you this series?
Thanks for asking. We're going to be live the half hour before the game. So we are literally walking off the court as the game is starting. So half hour before the game, it's live on ESPN's app. But the easiest way is probably YouTube. And Amon and I have been good about tweeting out that link, putting it in our Instagram stories. And, you know, we definitely talk about the upcoming game. It is a pregame show. But we have talked about, you know, the Western Conference and my Rockets and what it's going to, you know, look like. So we talk about the NBA in general as a whole. So definitely check it out.
Okay. At Sports Vanessa on all your platforms, right?
Yep.
Okay. There you go.
Yes, sir.
So you can find her. Good follow. Give Vanessa Richardson a follow. She is a sideline reporter for the Rockets on Space City Home Network, and you can find her on ESPN's digital platforms during the Western Conference Finals. Vanessa, always appreciate the time. We'll see you when you get back to Houston.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. That is the great Vanessa Richardson joining us on the show. A little basketball talk.
Who's not from Indianapolis, everybody.
No, no. Okay. She went to college in Indianapolis. She went to the University of Indianapolis, but she's from Terre Haute.
I don't know. I'm still not convinced that she's actually from Indiana. She's way too smart and normal looking.
Definitely an outlier from your characterization.
Yeah, a lot of chlorine in the gene pool up there in Indiana. Right. And somehow she made it out. Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, this tush push thing has gotten to a whole nother level. They're going to vote on this today, banning the tush push. Is this a little much? Some news coming from Adam Schefter when it comes to voting down this rule. We will have that for you. Coming up next.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.